Hey everyone, good morning. We are so thrilled to have you here for Daily Drop-In this morning, where we are live every single Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Eastern to bring some positivity, bring our community together, and celebrate in the wonderful day we have ahead of us. Today is September 17th, Friday, September 17th. So I have the amazing Brad Hughes with me. We have a lot in store for our discussion today. We have some news and a celebration of life that we'd like to begin our time with all together. We then intend to move into our good news segment. We have a wonderful, wonderful article and some celebrations headed our way. And then we will continue with our discussion in our brainstorm bank, all focused around equity, equality, inclusion, and all these kind of pieces together. You guys know that on Friday, we love to kind of tie up our themes in a little bit of a bow. And so we're thrilled to be able to send us off into a weekend with a lot of food for thought. Please join us and share this feed as we have a celebration of life that we're able to all have a moment together to acknowledge. And I am excited to get into the rest of our discussion today. So good morning. Thank you for being here. Please grab your cup of coffee and we'll be right back. Good morning. Good morning, Brett. Thank you for joining me on this Friday. It's so wonderful to see you. How's your week been so far?
It's been a busy week, Ray, as we get our school community back to school in person. We have a full week under our belts. So much gratitude and so much love for our staff members who are welcoming kids with a variety of school experiences or lack of school experiences for the past year and a half. I couldn't be prouder of our school staff, and I know that all educators are working tirelessly to make sure that families and communities feel welcome and safe. So personally and professionally, it's been busy, but I love it when plans start coming together. How about you, friend?
You know, it has been a full week of something every single day, but if nothing else, I have really appreciated all the educators I've been able to connect with this week. There's been so much discussion. I was able to do a lot of school visits this week. I just always appreciate time with educators in the trenches, problem solving, and even while exhausted, still persevering. I just think teachers are absolutely the best breed that exists out there. You know, Brad, we have some difficult news that we are hoping to really take some intentional time to discuss this morning. I was nervous as I was sharing with you that I know our community is maybe not aware of this news. And so I hope and appreciate not only the people that are joining us here this morning, but the people that will share this feed to celebrate the life that we get to have a moment of celebration of today. And Brad, I very much appreciate that you're here this morning, not only to share your insight always, but I always do appreciate having someone with me, a wonderful friend, when we're kind of encountering difficult conversations. So I very much appreciate that you're here this morning.
I'm grateful to be here. And as we said, just before we got on the air, we've got this together. And as we share out this news about the loss of one of our Teach Better family members, we are here together to celebrate and honor and to support each other in processing the news and in lifting each other up in memory and in honor of our friend.
Absolutely. So Brad, thank you for starting off our conversation. Good morning to all of you here for the Daily Drop-In. We are very saddened with a very heavy heart sharing that we have lost a wonderful, wonderful family member this morning, Amanda Nutt, who has been an ambassador with us and a Teach Better family member for quite some time, has lost her life due to COVID. The team was informed earlier yesterday afternoon, and we'll be working diligently all day today to ensure that all of our Teach Better family members are supported throughout this time. Amanda was an incredible educator in Kentucky. She not only dedicated her life to serving students in her community, but also truly giving all that she had to the Teach Better family, not only that by participating in events, but as we shared, by applying and becoming a Teach Better ambassador and advocate for the Teach Better mindset, which we could not be more appreciative of. Amanda was not only an incredible educator, but continues to celebrate, all the things that we had in our schools and did incredible work to serve our community. Her most recent tweet that she was able to share was about her excitement for students coming back physically into her classroom. And we are so appreciative of the time that she gave, the work that she did to better our field and truly represent what a teach better educator looks like, somebody who's always pursuing more, always problem solving, always being a positive light in the world. And so after 36 years of giving us her incredible grace, we are saddened to see her go, but we hope to, in a few minutes here, take a moment of silence to celebrate the incredible Amanda Nutt, the work that she did for our field, and a very, very valued member of the Teach Better community. So we appreciate all of you that are here today sharing your love in the comments and also helping us in celebrating Amanda's life. You know, Brad, anytime something difficult like this comes about, it's very challenging to think through and process. And I think the most important element is acknowledging that we're all here together, moving through this difficult time.
Ray, a lovely reflection and wonderful tribute to Amanda. And I know that those tributes and the impact of her connections, both in her classroom, school, her district, her community, and particularly her family and friends, stories like that are going to come to light more and more as we honor the difference that she made and will continue to make even after her passing. And I think as we community members and friends process the information, it's really important to remember that processing it is not going to necessarily be a linear path from receiving the news to eventually acceptance and incorporating what Amanda has meant to us and to all of us. It may be a very messy path, very jagged, very scribbly, if you will. If you think of a image of a pen or a pencil scribbling all over a notepad, wherever we are and wherever we find ourselves to be in this news, we have each other. And I know that Teach Better is called a family for a reason. We celebrate together. We remember and we mourn together. And it reminds me as well, Ray, of a quotation I read recently about grief. And it has to do with the fact that grief is love displaced. It's love that you have to give to someone, but that someone is no longer present. And so I would encourage everyone to reach out with love to your friends, your family, and also with self-compassion as you process this news and you kind of, reckon with Amanda's passing and do keep in touch and let us know, Brad or Ray, or let any Teach Better family know how we can help.
Yeah, Brad, I really appreciate you highlighting that. Not only the element of family, but the opportunities that we all have to come together in whatever form best suits you as you are kind of processing the difficult news this morning. The reality is that the Teach Better team intends to do a number of different things, not only to support the friends and family of Amanda Nutt, but also in community, just to bring everybody the support that they need. Everybody grieves in a different way, and we want to ensure that we're not only celebrating an incredible educator's life, but also providing each and every one of us the support that we need to, move forward with this news and truly make it a blessing. Her life is such a blessing. And if nothing else today, while we continue to share out plans, how each and every one of you can be involved in celebrating the life of an incredible ambassador and our family, we want to encourage you to reach out to us if you need anything, but also be aware that, reaching out to others for support is completely appropriate. We encourage you all to check on one another and continue to make today as positive as humanly possible. So Brad, I very much appreciate you talking through this difficult news, and the quote about grief, I think is exceptionally spot on. So I appreciate that reflection. At this time, we would really appreciate if you would all take a moment to celebrate the life of the incredible Amanda Nutt, a Teach Better ambassador, family member. At this time, we'd love to take a moment of silence to acknowledge all the difficult feelings, but also the celebration that we are able to provide around her today. And we will transition into our good news segment just after and try and share and uplift. There's plenty to celebrate today. So we will begin there. So thank you for all of us here. We'll take a moment and then head into our good news segment. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining Daily Drop-In. We hope that you have your coffee close as you are planning to have the most incredible Friday, September 17th, all together. Thank you for beginning your day with the Teach Better family. And while I know that we are starting our morning off with a little bit of a somber tone and a heavy heart celebrating an incredible Teach Better Ambassador member, we also want to ensure that each and every one of you still has all the normal things of Teach Better, because while we grieve together and mourn together, we also are able to celebrate together and come into community. As we transition into our good news segment, I think we can all use some good news, some positivity, and some ability to start off those conversations, build relationships with our colleagues, and have some good tidbits for our students today during this time. You know, Brad, you've done wonderfully every single week bringing a good news segment to us. And I love our good news segment. You know, and I've told you this in the past, this session was actually inspired by you, all the work you do in your podcast and everything else. So while we do have some celebrations today that we're going to acknowledge, some national or worldly days, I thought we'd start first with your good news article.
Ray, thanks so much. That means so much. And looking for the good is part of how I'm wired. And I know that's how so many of our Teach Better team and family members are wired too. And my good news today, Ray, comes from an unexpected source. It comes from my mom. Oh. I've got Brad's mom good news to share with you today. So my mom, Marianne, has been participating in a memoir project called Storyworth. And every week my mom gets an email with a prompt to reflect on something that's happened to her in her life. Something that it could be comical, like what's the biggest prank you've ever pulled, or it could be, you know, kind of deep and reflective. And so what I want to share back is my mom's, what I think is a brilliant response to this prompt. So the prompt was, what famous or important people have you encountered in your life? And here's what my mom wrote. I don't recall that I've encountered any famous people in my life. The closest to that, when I was young, my grandfather took me to see Queen Elizabeth and the Duke of Edinburgh arrive by train to our town. Important people, well, that is another thing altogether. I believe that every person you meet or deal with each day is important. It might be the teacher who each day assists and encourages you to succeed. It could also be the doctor who helps you to stay healthy and enjoying life as long as you can. It also might be your friend or neighbor who help to make each day more pleasant and easier to get through. Anyone and everyone is important in their own way to each other. This is something we should all keep in mind and remember. So that's good news courtesy of Brad's mom. And I'll tell you, I've been so touched and excited by this memoir project. And I've got some other Brad's mom good news to share forward in future sessions. But that's the good news today.
I was going to say, first off, how do we get your mom on Daily Drop-In? I'm sure it's very early for her, but holy cow, I can only imagine she's an incredible woman. I'd love for you to share on this project that she's participating in, because actually, and I know this is coincidence, my grandmother is doing the same thing. I just had dinner with her yesterday to break the fast for Yom Kippur, and she is doing this weekly prompt. And at the end, you've written a book that has, you know, full of memories of the incredible life that she continues to live. And it sounds like either the same or a very similar program.
That's exactly right. So at the end of a year of prompts, you have the opportunity to gift the person writing the memoir with a book collecting all of their thoughts. And then family members have the opportunity to get additional books as well. And I've always reassured my mom that if you get a prompt that just doesn't sit right with you, or you just want to turn your attention to something, that's okay. But she's been so diligent and dedicated, Ray. And for me, my mom's 77. And for me, what I've discovered that I never knew was that my mom has a true gift for the written word, for written language. And my mom's written voice is different than her out loud voice. And it's remarkable when we seek opportunities and kind of take them to help others kind of unlock their gifts. It's never too late for a surprise. And so this has been a wonderful opportunity for my whole family to stay connected with my mom at a distance and to get some insight into what makes her the remarkable person that she is.
Brad, was this your idea for her to pursue this project, or was she eager to pursue this on her own? How did this come about? Because for my grandmother, my mother like gifted this project to her. And so that's been kind of the ongoing joke that my mother assigned my grandmother homework. And my grandmother is a very a wonderful educator, but a very intense and strict educator. So the fact that my mother gave my grandmother homework is very comical in our family.
That's exactly right. It was a gift from our family to my mom a year ago at Christmas. And before the gift came, we wanted to avoid the sense that we were giving her homework. We checked with her to see if this is something she'd be interested in doing. And again, with the proviso that if you get a prompt or you get tired, you're just not into it, just skip it. But man, it's been eye-opening. It's been rewarding. It's been heartwarming. And again, it gives us a springboard for ongoing communication. I sent my mom an iMessage yesterday saying, I love your story, Worth. I would love to share it out to my friends and family on social media. And she gave me a call on the way home from work yesterday to say how much she appreciated that I want to share out what she's done. So I'm going to make sure that text of my mom's reflection, my mom's good news, is shared back to our Teach Better page and Teach Better group. And you'll see it on social media as well. So stay tuned for more good news from Brad's mom. You never know when an unexpected source might provide you with some inspiration.
I think this needs to be a new segment that we intentionally get good news from Brad's mom. I mean, I can't think of anything better than that. I will ask Brad, just as a reflective moment, because it's just so comical that I am aware of this program and am finding very similar enjoyment out of reading the incredible things that are being documented. You know, this is being done in both of our stories by somebody who has lived a wonderful life and obviously is going to continue for many years, I'm sure, living a wonderful life. But later in their life, they're doing this activity. Do you think it would be possible to do this type of project, this type of practice at any age? And to be honest, to me, I feel like it would be quite therapeutic.
I agree. I strongly believe that the better we know each other, the better we can support and serve one another. And it can happen at any age. The immediate thought is, what if a teacher or an educator provided these kinds of prompts to kids and participated along with them? You would have a memoir project growing within any classroom at any time. It could be a parent to a child. It could be. So right now, my mom and your grandmother are sort of writing independently, but it could be something that is collaborative. We could also agree to respond to the same prompts and compare notes. And what wonderful insight to see how those notes might connect with one another, something that your parent or elder has learned that you have incorporated without even knowing it. You embody, the people that come before you. And so I think the possibilities are quite limitless, right? As a matter of fact, and therapeutic, absolutely, an opportunity to reflect. Sometimes you have to get tough thoughts down out of your head and onto paper, whether it's a long to-do list of things you don't want to forget, or whether it's, a deep reflection on a personal moment. Sometimes we're just freeing up that headspace can allow you just even a brief sense of relief so you can take the next step that you need to take.
Absolutely. We're seeing a lot of comments come in of people not only celebrating this great idea, but having some comparisons of even being able to do this 25 years apart from one another and, comparing how the stories are different. Brian Fennell's jumping in and joking that the Teach Better team should put together a book collection. I think that's a great idea. Also seeing Nikki in the comments. Nikki, it's wonderful to hear you. Thanks for joining us this morning. So I think that's so cool, Brad. I would love and welcome more good news from Brad's mom. I think that's fabulous.
It's coming right up. And actually, one of the reflections that I can just briefly touch on, Ray, was literally about good news. It's the power of celebrating what's good in others' lives as a way of lifting yourself up. So stay tuned. That'll be coming more good news from Brad's mom.
Such a fan. That's fabulous. Some other celebrations today that we will continue to brighten all of our mornings and also provide us with some food for thought to discuss with colleagues or students. Yeah, there are a lot of things to celebrate today, especially if you're in the U.S. It is Constitution Day. It is International Country Music Day. I feel like that's got to be something that some of our family enjoys. There's actually a ton here. I always appreciate a wonderful National Apple Dumpling Day. That's never, never a bad thing in my mind. But the one that I really felt like hit home, Brad, something I wanted to make sure we discussed, was the opportunity to celebrate World Pet Bird Day. I feel as though that is a day that you might really like to celebrate.
Ray, I think the motto of International Pet Bird Day, it really speaks to the care that we all bird and pet lovers, especially bird and pet lovers, we tweet others as we want to be tweeted. And you know, some might say that this national holiday is really for the birds. I don't want to ruffle any feathers on that, but it's important that we branch out. You know, we branch out and we, you know, celebrate a variety of different events, whether you're a pet bird owner or what kind of pet you have. You know, it's important that we flock together and that we take a moment to celebrate National Pet Bird Owners Day.
You know, Brad, knowing that you would have a great pun for Pet Bird Day just made me so happy. That was about six right there. So you have a skill, my friend, you have a skill.
Ray, sometimes I feel like I'm flying by the seat of my pants on that. Like, you know, I'm on a wing and a prayer when it comes to, you know, coming up with some wordplay, some puns, but, you know, I relish the opportunity to do that. So thank you, Ray Hewitt, and thank you, National Pet Bird Owners Day, for this opportunity.
Always good to be able to share some puns. I did hear a rumor that you might have some other puns that are just so coming so naturally to you. I heard that maybe trees are always good to bring up, but I just feel like maybe we should save those and we should allow ourselves to move on for now. But then maybe next week we need to bring up, you know, I'm sure there's got to be a tree celebration coming soon.
Ray, we recently celebrated the music of trees. And I want to let you know that as long as you're up for it and as long as our audience and Teach Better Family can stand it, I'm always up for a good punvalanche.
Punvalanche. I love it. We're going to transition here to some educational discussion. Thank you. Thank you to those of you who have chosen to spend your morning with the Daily Drop-In crew. We have started our morning with some difficult news, celebrating the life of an incredible Teach Better ambassador member. Thank you to those of you who are continuing to pay tribute to Amanda Nutt throughout the day. We were then able to transition into some good news, celebrating some wonderful, wonderful dialogue. Brad, thank you to have your mom share her insight with us, and then also some celebrations. The rest of our time together, or at least a good chunk of it, will be dedicated to an incredible theme that we've been able to highlight every single week. Daily Drop-In has a theme, a focus of conversation that we were able to discuss and provide some tactical strategies for. So we're going to transition into our brainstorm bank and obviously also welcome any questions from our live audience that is currently watching on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, or Twitch to continue to be a safe space to brainstorm and problem solve all together. So we'll be right back. Brad, everybody in our Teach Better family knows that our brain break section is truly just an opportunity to pause and say, hey, do you need anything? We really enjoy the opportunity to welcome you to an incredible morning ahead of us, an incredible day ahead of us, and take a moment to say, we're here for you no matter what you need. So whether it is a debate on how to best support a student in your classroom, a approach that you'd like to find a recommendation for in having a conversation with a colleague, or just looking to brainstorm how to make really great puns for Pet Bird Day. We are here to be a collaborative partner with you. Brad, I do want to celebrate that Nikki says that you may have all out dad joked Dave, which is really saying a lot. Dave Schmitto is known for those bad dad jokes.
Those friendly rivalries are so important in our Teach Better team and in life too, Ray. And again, just you get on a roll, and if you can make someone chuckle or roll their eyes or groan, then mission accomplished. I kind of think of this brainstorm bank as a mini mastermind, Ray. We've got an admin mastermind, and many of our educators are aware of coming together, bringing forward a problem of practice and shooting ideas around. This really could, we could set the intention for Brainstorm Bank to be a mini mastermind. If you drop a question, a problem of practice, anything that might make your work and your educating life a little bit easier today, you can just drop it in the comment there and we can shoot some ideas around. So we really want to make sure that the Brainstorm Bank it comes alive from the energy of what you need. It's a cycle of, you know, what do you need and how can we help?
As a reminder, you can not only submit questions live to us now, but if you ever have something that pops into your world that you'd like to discuss at any point in time in your day, you can head over to teachbetter.com/daily drop-in and submit your question there as well for us to discuss. While you are typing your questions in, thinking through not only things that you might be looking to problem solve with our incredible Teach Better family, but maybe also questions specifically related to our equity and inclusion discussion that we've been having all week long, I also want to take a moment to acknowledge the wonderful people that have been commenting throughout our morning thus far. We've been live for about a half an hour, and we appreciate all of you that are here. Looks like Neil Millie jumped in, Karen Evans, Jeff Gargas, Brian Fennell, Megan Deegan is here. Ooh, it's not Megan Deegan. She got married. Megan Hosey, good to see you, Megan. Good morning. Van Scott is here. Wonderful to see you. We have just so many friends commenting, and good to see you, Sandra, as well, jumping in. So for those of you that are here, thank you for joining this discussion. You know, Brad, we have had some really interesting dialogue this week about equity and inclusion. And for those of you who have been watching Daily Drop-In all week, the discussion began on Monday with Jeff Gargas, and we kind of discussed that no matter what was going on all week, we would ask the questions, whether they sound silly or foolish. We wanted to ask the questions so we could all grow together. This has led into outstanding dialogue that we'll be able to recap a little bit later. But Brad, when we talk about equity and inclusion, I'm confident that this is not only relevant to you as a person trying to support all students, but in your school building as well. Have you been able to catch any of the dialogue this week on this topic?
I sure have. And what I've noticed, Ray, over the week is you have been intentional about naming that you're going to ask what you appear may be a foolish question. And that is key to understanding ourselves and understanding each other in any topic, but particularly this essential topic of anti-racism, anti-discrimination, and inclusive practices. This has been a journey for me in the past year and a half as our district has intentionally engaged school leaders to begin to do the inner work before we can dive into the outer work of moving from positive intention on equity and inclusion to actually action. I've got a t-shirt on today that says include everyone always. And that mindset, you know, your Wednesday guest discussed, you know, as public educators, we serve the public. The public sends its children to us, all walks of life, all ages, all experiences, all races, religions. And so it is up to us to include everyone as we welcome them into the school. And the inner work that I've been doing, Ray, has been much more intentional, not only about including everyone, but reflecting on who is not yet being included, who is not yet being served. Our new director of education in Waterloo Region, Jiwan Chinika, in his address to school leaders at the beginning of the year said, yes, leadership is about service, but leadership is equally about recognizing who is not yet being served well. I'm really more and more determined to use the privilege and position that I have to move our educators and move myself from intention to action rather than passivity or neutrality, or even just a sense that, yeah, I'm someone that includes anyone. The trick is, who am I not including? And how does that get on my radar? How do I have processes to figure out who is not being served? And so I look forward to diving into more conversation with you about this, because it's absolutely been a personal intellectual journey. And now it's becoming a journey of activity and service.
And, you know, Brad, I really appreciate your focus, your emphasis on not just, you know, being aware, but truly being a part of the solution. That's been a theme that we have really tried to bring to the forefront of the conversation, not only this week, but truly since this became a topic that was no longer a topic that we could just have in the background. We needed to bring this to the forefront and truly give not only people a safe space to discuss, but empower and inspire our community to be a part of the solution, leading the charge. And while there's been many pockets of conversation that the Teach Better team has strived to foster, I really appreciate this week was full. I to be honest, I was shocked, because you never really know how morning shows are going to go. You know, there's not a script. We're kind of just discussing throughout each segment. I was shocked how many strategies have been shared that every single educator can choose to take one or take 100 to be able to put those into action. And I not only appreciated our guests that were able to provide that, but truly, you know, now it's up to us to actually take the ideas and do better, right? When we know better, we do better. So Brad, was there a specific avenue that you wanted to begin with? I mean, there's so much in this topic. I mean, fitting it into a week is comical. This needs to constantly be a part of our world. But specifically today, was there kind of an avenue that you felt strongly about starting off with?
Not necessarily that I felt strongly in starting with, but something that continues to resonate with me in terms of how I, as a white, privileged, cisgender educator, my position as a leader of change absolutely has to be informed with something I'm learning more and more about, which is called the burden of the oppressed. And so when I learned about the burden of the oppressed, and it was only recently that I began to sort of really incorporate this point of view, the idea is that in almost every case, those that are being oppressed must experience additional oppression by bringing the harm that is being caused or been caused to someone's attention. As they're doing that, they need to relive the trauma or the experience. And so that those experiences are embodied. So it's like living it again. And then there's an emotional jam up where you wonder if you're going to be believed, and sometimes you're not, or you're believed, but no one has the capacity to take appropriate action on it. And so that for me is a huge and mind-blowing perspective shift. It's not sufficient for me as a school leader or as a human being to simply take the position that I'm going to include everyone. I need to be active in understanding that there is great personal risk to mm-hmm. anyone bringing forward stories or the effects of oppression, discrimination. And so we need to move forward with action with that in mind. And that to me has been something I keep coming back to, Ray, and I've been listening for and kind of resonating that with the guests, is how do we make it possible to take the lead on addressing oppression so that it's not always in the hands of the oppressed to do so?
You know, it's a very important topic that we haven't really been able or had the opportunity to dive into. I think that it's something that we all need to consider as we continue to be a part of that solution seeking. And it's not really just about inviting people into a safe space. I mean, that's the first step in this journey. But as you noted, you know, a safe space is just one of the many layers to not only this conversation, but to actually seeking a solution and supporting those mm-hmm. who are struggling. You know, obviously, I'm sure schools across the country are continuously in this debate on how to foster the best environment possible. But do you have a go-to recommendation or suggestion that you'd like to provide and, you know, taking a positive step in that direction?
Elena Aguilar wrote the book Coaching for Equity. And I was doing some research and some work last spring on mentoring and coaching. And one of the things that I took away really clearly and beginning to embody more and more is that according to Elena, every conversation is an equity conversation. And so when we approach our interactions with anyone, any stakeholder, any community member, we are seeking to address that conversation with that equity lens in mind. Mm-hmm. And what I'm reminding myself, and I've got a sticky note on my computer monitor next to my phone that says, who am I not yet serving well? And so mm-hmm. I'm always someone personally that strives to seek to understand before being understood and seeking to understand how I can help before I jump in with suggestions about what can be done to help. But if we approach every conversation as an equity conversation, and again, naming the intention is really important. Often we have great intentions that reside within us. If we name the intention, it gives us both energy and accountability. So those are a couple of things on my mind, Ray. What are your thoughts?
You know, I actually would love to have more dialogue around your focus on naming the conversation. I know that this is off topic, but strictly on the use of language. The use of language has been a constant dialogue element of our week, especially with Kate O'Connor, who was able to join us on Thursday for our daily drop-in. After daily drop-in yesterday, I had the opportunity to visit a middle school here in Illinois for an administrative roundtable. This was facilitated by the nonprofit that I'm affiliated with. It's a Association of Illinois Middle Grade Schools. So if, for those of you in Illinois, if you are in the middle school age range, like that fifth grade to kind of ninth grade, I'd love to invite you to be a part of this incredible network. This nonprofit supports educators, administrators, and everything in between. But specifically yesterday, the opportunity that we had to bring administrators together was just such a beautiful one. We hadn't been able to offer that in-person opportunity in quite some time. And, you know, the use of language, you know, not even specifically related to equity and inclusion, but the use of language was a theme throughout the entire hour-long roundtable. It was an opportunity that we had to discuss a number of different concerns that the administration was bringing forward. And it was very much like a mastermind where you could bring up any topic you needed to try and get some voice and some suggestions, some resources on this idea. And one of the issues that was brought up yesterday was this really difficult topic of vandalism that they're experiencing in their schools. I'm not sure how much we want to dive into that, but it is based off of a TikTok trend that is really harming the environment of our schools, in many of our schools. And actually, language became a major source of the solution that they were discussing. And so as we, of course, are discussing a completely different topic here on the Daily Drop-In for our theme this week, I think it continues to emphasize the power we have, and not only the words we use to communicate to an individual, but the power we have in the words that we use to communicate to the masses. And I'm sure as a leader, you pick your language very intentionally.
Absolutely, Ray. And language creates our reality on the fly. And so the words that we choose to put out there to each other, written or oral language, really shapes reality, because that language invites some kind of a response, some kind of an interaction. So choice of language is key, but also making sure that the language that you are using to invite conversation and to invite action is actually reaching the intended listener as you hope it is. It's always checking for a mismatch between intention and impact. This is a little bit off topic, but I'm going to come back around to it if you're patient with me. Yesterday, one of our special education educators shared a video with me of a kindergarten student who had been experiencing quite a bit of distress about coming to school for the first time. This is a student that has a different home language, learned a different home language than English, doesn't yet communicate in English, and anyway, was experiencing a lot of distress. There was a moment yesterday where something caught the student's attention and resulted in some laughter, just some sparkling laughter. And then he began to speak in his home language. And the educator that was accompanying him happened to just give some, tell me more, like that kind of a thing. And the light that came on for this student, recognizing that he was being acknowledged and encouraged in his own language. And then the light that came on for me as a school leader, like literally a brand new light on a student, you know, you see a student differently and you see a different student, a different child. And language creates so many opportunities, but it can also create so many barriers to be addressed. And there's no hard pat solution for any of that, except a constant determination to help others be understood, so that you can help them, so that you can serve them. So just a sparkling moment. I think it really spoke to the power of language and the power of not just acceptance, but the power of like intentionally drawing in those experiences and honoring those experiences as a way to make connections.
Yeah, you know, another layer of language that I hadn't thought of, especially in our communication specifically with Kate O'Connor on Thursday, dealt with the power of language that we can use to combat those that don't agree with this movement or struggle to understand why this movement is so important in our world. That actually came up in our discussion at this roundtable with the nonprofit, because it was not only the language that we were using to solve the problem with the people that were affected, but the language we were using, the administration was choosing to use with the community and the people that didn't understand why this was so harmful. And the dialogue really focused on the intentional, I don't know how to phrase this. I apologize. I'm struggling over my words, but like intentionally using very hard language to emphasize the concern they were having in schools. Words like vandalism and destruction were the language words that they were choosing to pull in, rather than just discussing that this was, you know, an unfortunate event or a trend that they were seeing. They were really pulling in, you know, harsh language to say, no, this is not only important, but detrimental to our community. And on the flip side, there's some similarities here as we discussed language yesterday. Our language conversation yesterday really had to do with the words we use to create a welcoming environment. But the language we use to combat those that don't see this as an important issue is also, I assume, extremely relevant for this dialogue.
It is. It's about being responsive and responsible to community health and well-being by setting intentions, by being deliberate in the language, and then walking the talk. You know, people are constantly checking to see if school leaders and school communities are doing what they say they will do. And part of that is a cycle of growth where we also name and are committed to learning more, doing better, and being better, not putting ourselves in a position where we must get everything right. We want to lead to an outcome that is right. And sometimes that takes a moment. Sometimes it takes a long, long time. So, again, that looking for those mismatches between intention and action in the language that we use, but also in the actions that we take.
You know, Brett, I want to note a comment here. I think this is shared by Charles, who's a part of our Teach Better family. Yes. You know, this morning has been a very difficult daily drop-in for me personally to kind of go through, this morning's conversation. But that doesn't mean that we avoid hard questions, and that doesn't mean that we are only going to be spewing positivity. We really want the daily drop-in to be a environment where people can not only ask questions to problem solve for themselves, but ask questions that we don't always have answers to or that we need to improve in. And Charles' question, for those of you who might be listening on Teach Better Talk podcast, says, can I ask an honest question? Which always, when you begin that way, my answer immediately, and all the members of the Teach Better team immediately say, yep, what can we do? How can we help? And where can we improve? The comment says, this week was dedicated to DEI, and yet you didn't have one BIPOC as a guest. Why? I want to make sure that we address this, because while I don't have the most perfectly crafted answer, I do have an answer that truly speaks to one of the many missions of the Teach Better team. You know, Daily Drop-In was created to be a safe space to discuss topics, regardless of what was going on in the world. And in addition to that, a very, very important second layer is to amplify voices. And the Daily Drop-In show not only continues to seek members to join our conversation, but also encourages our community to recommend people to be a part of Daily Drop-In. So I want to first start by saying, Charles, thank you for acknowledging that we have gaps in this week's conversation. And I want you to hear truly that this needs to be an ongoing conversation, not just a theme that we hold true to for 5 days of our morning show, but a constant conversation. So I invite you, Charles, and everyone in the community to continue to share the necessary people that need to be a part of the Daily Drop-In, whether that be just their name or a few of their contact information, anybody that you would recommend to be a part of the Daily Drop-In. We would so welcome and appreciate, wholeheartedly appreciate your suggestions. While we know we could in no way cover this vast topic this week, we feel very strongly about wanting to and continuing this conversation moving forward. So, Brad, I just felt like it was really important this morning that we not only welcome these questions to not only, you know, problem solve with those in our community, but welcome the questions that continue to question the work being done on the Teach Better team, and specifically with the Daily Drop-In, because we have areas to improve. And we also acknowledge that you can't solve or even discuss the necessary problems about one topic in a week. And we hope to continue this dialogue and welcome our community to be a part of that solution. So sorry to take us off track there, Brad, but I felt like it was important to discuss.
I agree. I saw Charles's question there, and that had been on my mind is taking that opportunity to reflect and respond. If we remain committed to making every conversation, even conversations on Daily Drop-In, an equity conversation, and if we remain committed to making sure that the viewers and listeners see individuals that reflect their own lived and embodied experience on an ongoing basis, there's tremendous promise for it to be more than just a week that we forget about. It's a week that is a foundation to grow on. And I welcome and am really grateful for Charles's question and insight.
Absolutely. So for those of you listening, if you need the right avenue to reach out for any reason, of course, on the show, we've invited you to reach out for a multitude of reasons. One of the ways that we'd love to have you reach out is to share the voice, the name of somebody who you think should be featured on Daily Drop-In, whether they add valuable conversation to a specific topic that you would love to encourage them to speak on, or simply have wonderful educator insight and stories of the incredible work being done in classrooms around the world. We would so welcome each and every one of you sharing that contact with us. We are constantly striving to grow our professional learning network and bring our conversation to light in a multitude of directions and layers. So thank you to those of you who are committed to doing that. You're welcome to reach out on social media if that's the easiest for you, or of course, my personal email is Ray, which is my first name, @teachbetter.com. I always would love to hear from you. I know many of you also have my cell phone number. You're welcome to always text if that's better for you, for those of you who might prefer that method. You know, Brad, I'd love to transition our conversation into recapping the week, as we did strive to set a foundation of dialogue this week, and then actually get into some preview for next week as we continue further conversation to support our network. Does that sound good?
See you on the other side. Sounds great.
See you on the flip side. You know, Brad, we were able to have so many conversations this week and want to continue to foster these conversations. We started off Monday morning with the incredible Jeff Gargis, who joins us every single Monday, kind of previewing what the week could potentially look like. As many of you know, this Daily Show is not scripted. We're here. We really are working off of not only the comments that you all have, but the incredible guests that we're able to welcome into our community. And so Jeff and I were making some predictions on what we thought as we were diving into specifically the topic of originally equity and inclusion being our main focus. It obviously evolved into a lot of different layers of this conversation, which we are so appreciative of this week. Tuesday, though, was a very special day. And Brad, I know that you tuned in for this day. This is where Jed Derryberry joined us. He is a elementary, early childhood educator, now working in the field of academia, supporting future educators. And holy cow, did Jed bring not only a wonderful perspective on this idea of a welcoming community, but holy cow, did he tell us how to start a conversation.
Incredible episode and incredible guest. I was just marveling at the environment from which Jeff was joining us, just surrounded in color and amazing resources. It seemed that he was pulling resources out of everywhere that it was within his reach. And
it was like a magic trick, right? Jeff literally was like reaching down, reaching up, and he kept grabbing things.
And I think that just speaks to the wealth of support that is around us as we embrace equity conversations and as we embrace that lens of who is not yet being served well. We simply have to seek the resources and also seek the human resources, seek people like Jed and see how, you know, how he is incorporating these resources. And I know that many authors and creators of resources to support equity work are also available on Twitter or other social media, and may even be available for author visits virtually so that they can bring those insights and they can bring that energy like we saw on the Tuesday episode. Excuse me.
I had a lot of direct messages from all of y'all watching Jed. You guys loved and ate up his suggestions. He shared so many children's books. If you guys are looking for opportunities to begin to invite conversation, safe conversation into the classroom, begin to bring these ideas, regardless of the grade level, into your community, but also normalize all types of people. I really felt so strongly that he gave us a safe space to do that and provided us with a copious amount of resources. So I encourage you to go check out that episode on Tuesday, because holy cow, was there children's books that I was just writing these titles down even after the fact, being like, I have to go buy this book. So there were wonderful opportunities there for all of us to not only share with the ages that you would typically think for children's books, but also, you know, there were so many books that he recommended for middle school and high school grades as well. So I appreciated that insight. On Wednesday, we continued with Stephen Weber, who was district leader, a superintendent in Arkansas. And he really spoke from a very eloquent space, really dealing with a community that is hesitant with this movement. But, you know, he obviously is the face and the forefront of this movement in his community. And I so appreciated his recommendation of not only, you know, what we can be doing right now as individuals, but the books that we can be consuming to be better at questioning. His big focus was about questioning on Wednesday.
That stance of curiosity is tremendously powerful because it can break down emotional tensions and philosophical and relationship barriers, where if we're coming out of conversation where either I'm right or wrong or you're right or wrong, then you're already setting it up not for success. And so positioning, you know, yourself with a stance of curiosity, help me understand, let's understand better together. And honestly, sometimes just agreeing to disagree and hoping that each is walking away from an interaction with a little bit of a spark or a change in perspective. You know, I'm really glad that with Stephen's conversation and even with Jed's conversation too, the inherent tension that comes with taking a position and being an active change agent, especially when the change that you are naming needs to happen and that you're modeling, does not necessarily meet with the norms and expectations of individuals or even entire communities and districts. And so it's brave work. It's also intentional work. And when I say brave, nothing compared to the bravery of those that continue to experience oppression and its effects. So I prefer to look at it as intentional work. And it's work that we continue to grow in spite of the obstacles.
Absolutely. And, you know, it was interesting comparing Tuesday's conversations to Wednesday's conversation. You know, Jed and Stephen are both incredible educators. doing work in very different spaces. Their approaches are very different, and they work in very different communities. And they also represent different types of people, which I really, really enjoyed. And yet they both recommended books and texts as an avenue to not only begin, but foster these conversations. I don't think I've ever been a part of 48 hours with so many recommendations on resources. And I love that stuff, but it's sometimes hard to pull out of a guest. And those two educators were full of resources. So I so valued that. You know, then we transitioned on Thursday with Kate O'Connor. Kate has joined us numerous times in the Teach Better community to share her voice and being an advocate for these discussions. And she took our conversation in an interesting way that I really appreciated, which did essentially land on the discussion of language, which I thought was so valuable. And, you know, her focus, my takeaway personally in discussing with her was if you don't know what appropriate language to use, it is our responsibility to fill our network, whether it be virtual or in person, with people that can help educate us to enhance our language use, which I loved that takeaway.
Yeah, the takeaway for me there, Ray, was just ask.
Yeah.
Just ask. Look around you. Look at the relationships you've developed or the relationships that you want to develop with a person that's walked a completely different life than you have, and you have everything to gain from that. Just ask.
Absolutely. Next week, we are excited to welcome in more guests for Daily Drop-In. To name a few, we have Evan Schwartz joining us, who is an incredible educator that actually has a program that supports students across the world. So I'm so excited to welcome him in. We also have Debbie Tenenbaum joining us, who's a very active member of our Teach Better family, and Joshua Samper. Next week is also a wonderful week to celebrate Joshua Samper. He has a book launch coming out on Tuesday. And so we're not only excited to celebrate with him on Tuesday, but also Thursday morning, where he is able to kind of speak to the book that he is putting out, which is all about supporting aspiring leaders. So Brad, thank you so much for joining us this morning, Daily Drop-In. I really appreciate you being my friend and colleague, along with some difficult conversation with the unfortunate news of the passing of Amanda Nutt, an incredible Teach Better ambassador, a part of our family that we not only are worth, we're happy to be able to come together and celebrate her incredible life this morning, but we will continue to provide our network with opportunities to celebrate the work of this incredible teacher. So thank you, Brad, for being a part of this dialogue and starting your morning off with me.
A pleasure to be with you, Ray. And when I reflect on the sad news of Amanda's passing, and when I reflect on all of the conversations that we have poured into this week and that I know we will continue to pour into about who is not yet being served well, there's no shortage of terrible things that have occurred to ourselves and others. And the key next step is to figure out what have we learned and what are we learning from those experiences. And as educators, we serve in learning communities. And so if we remain dedicated to demonstrating through leadership, service, and connection with ourselves and our kids that we are learning from what has occurred, and then just taking the best next step, whether it's just asking or whether it's a moment of personal reflection or a moment of connection, whatever serves you to serve others and to demonstrate that we are learning from what's occurred, all the better.
Thank you to those of you who are able to share your time with us this morning. If you need anything, please feel free to reach out at any time. We mean that not only in your professional life, but of course in your personal life as well. Brad and I represent the whole team when we say that we are here for you and more than happy to support you in any way we can. We wish you the absolute best Friday ahead of you. It is September 17th, and we know that this is going to be a wonderful day. So thank you for all that you do, and we'll see you starting Monday morning next week. See you later.